What's up, folks, and welcome back to the Shiitake Podcast. I'm your main host, Shannon. With me always is our co-host, Mamats. Mamats, say what's up to the people.
Namaste, people.
I said, what's up? Not namaste. This is not a yoga class. Also with us this week, we got our other co-host, Mateo. Mateo, what's good?
Wait, this isn't a yoga class? I think I'm in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't want to see me try to do yoga. This is not going to end well for anybody.
Oh, no, bro.
What up?
Thank you.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm trying to save your life. All right, folks. So this week, we're going to be reviewing Assassin's Pride. Before we get to that, though, we got the question of the week, and it's my turn. So, going a little bit with the theme of the show, if you had to choose any swordsman in anime to be your teacher in the way of Bushido, who would it be?
I will choose Mihawk from One Piece.
That's Mihawk, a good one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. Stipulation. No, you can change your answer after this. No, as much as I love a good power set, no beyond human abilities.
Okay? Oh, come on.
So no hockey, no fucking Getsuga Tensho.
You fucking lame. You're lame.
You're just a badass swordsman. I gotta level the playing field.
Oh, man.
I got to level the playing field. Because then we're just going to start a whole ass fight of, well, they could do this, and then they wouldn't stand a chance against that. And it's like, no, we're just going to keep it. We're going to keep it real.
Fine. Changes my answer fully.
That's why I wanted to make sure I got that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I know it's going to be some ridiculous ass shit coming out.
I wanted to use three swords, bro.
Yeah. You can use three swords.
But if it doesn't have hockey, it's not cool.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's my point though. No superhuman abilities. Techniques are all fine and dandy. You're just not going to be slicing through a tree 6 feet away. And I'll even give you. I'll even give you.
Where's the fun in that? Where's the fun in that, man?
Mats, we know Shannon isn't fun by now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck both of y'all. Fuck both of y'all.
He's the OG son over there, the grandpa.
You know what? Fuck you, Mateo. And your baby ass. You potty trained yet?
Almost there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Fine. We'll add in power sets. Go.
Oh man, now you're changing. I already have.
Well, y'all keep bitching about it. I'm just gonna give you what you want.
No power sets, stay true to yourself, man.
No power sets.
You don't stay true to yourself. It's a damn question. Y'all was bitching about, oh, I want powers. So I said, fine, get powers. But what's right, going to be? Let's have both of them.
Let's have both of them, all right? The one with the power set. Yeah, the one without, yeah. So for me, the one with the power set is Mihawk, Hawkeye, yes, from One Piece. And the one without the power set is from Gintama. I want Gintoki to be my master.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what you got.
All right, if we're going without the power set, I'm going to get Kenshin from Rurouni Kenshin.
Son of a bitch!
And then...
Don't repeat answers, all right?
And then with the power set, I mean, it's still with the power set, but kind of without a power set, I'm going to go to One Piece. It's got to be Shanks. Shanks from One Piece. I don't know if you guys watch One Piece or in the One Piece verse, but the dude's got one arm and he contends with the strongest pirates.
Yeah. Is Shanks using a sword?
Yeah, he does.
I don't think he is using sword. He's just hockey.
No, you don't watch another One Piece, sir. He uses a sword.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he goes toe-to-toe with Mihawk with one hand and one sword. Or with one arm, I'm sorry. Those two would be my masters. She shows.
How about you, Shannon?
Yeah, Shanks clearly has a sword right on his hip. Rapier style, too. Mm-hmm. So, Mateo took mine for non-powers, which is Kenshin Himura from Rurouni Kenshin. I mean, that reverse blade style, you can't beat that shit. Exactly. That's a wrap. For with powers, I'm a cheat like a mug right now. And I'm going with Aizen from Bleach.
Damn, you know what I could have seen you as, Shannon?
Huh?
Freaking Kirito, the Black Swordsman, dude. Dual wielding. That shit would have been hilarious.
Why gotta be the
hilarious, man?
Because all I can see is just Shannon with two swords soloing the Minotaur boss, just going back and forth, dodging. And I just see Shannon right there.
Nah. Don't get me wrong. If I'm not a dual wielding type, like, strength is my key. Like, if we're going actual skill and we're going like true sword fighting, like going at it, strength is key for me. So I'm gonna be wielding a big ass fucking blade. Like, I can't remember the character's name from Rurouni Kenshin, the one that had the jacket. I think it said badass on it.
I can't remember. I watched that show so long ago, I don't remember.
Dude, that was probably easily 20 years ago, 20 years ago or more for me. But his first rival that shows up.
I couldn't imagine Sao as a like a black man as a main character, you know.
Black man. Hey, let's focus on the black thing. Always focus on blackness. I swear to God. Y'all just some racist motherfuckers. Sagara Sanosuke.
Shannon is the main character of Sao. Can you imagine that?
No, God no. If you're gonna put me in the anime, don't fucking put me in Sao. Don't ever do that. No. If we're gonna do it in Sao, at least make it only the first season. Like the first half of the first season.
Instead of a SWAT fight, you are doing like a death battle rap, you know, rap battle.
Why I gotta do a rap battle?
Shannon rap battling? Give me like two seasons of Shannon rap battling.
You know what? I hate both of y'all. I hate both of y'all right now.
I'm sorry, Shannon.
That's a bitchin'. All the 100 plus. Shannon has to beat the boss, boss level with a rap battle.
I tell you what. This podcast gets 30 plays. If this podcast gets 30 plays, I will rap on the next podcast.
Mamatsu, you got 15. I got 15.
All right, man.
No, I want genuine listeners. Don't pull that bullshit.
Let's go. Let's go, people. You listen to that?
That's enough of this nonsense over here. Ooh, why do I do this with y'all? Why do I bother with you?
I'm carrying this podcast to your friend, all right?
I just need 30 people to click on it. That's all I need.
Yes.
No, okay, that's some bull. At least actually listen to the damn podcast. I hate y'all.
Love you too, Shannon.
Yep.
Let's just get to the topic at hand, okay? We're supposed to be reviewing a show, not over here bullshitting.
So, I don't know, man. This conversation is much more interesting than the show, but we'll get there.
Oh, bro.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. All
right, let's move on to the show itself, all right?
All right, so first we're going to do the synopsis for the show, and then we'll go from there. So, the series synopsis. The last refuge of humanity lives within the city-state of Flandor. The gap between nobility and commoners is wide, since noble bloodlines contain mana. With this power, it is up to mana users to protect the populace from dangerous monsters. To fight these terrible battles are the Assassins of White Knight. One of the very best operatives is Kufa Vampyr. Kufa's newest assignment is to serve as bodyguard and tutor for the daughter of the prestigious Angel family, Melida. Although Melida's family is known for their mighty mana warriors, that is a terrible sentence. Melida herself appears to have no such talent. However, Kufa sees potential in his young student. Despite the odds and ridicule, Melida's powers do eventually blossom and are only getting stronger. Still, she will need the guidance of her teacher if she wishes to become someone worthy of carrying on her family's name. So that was the synopsis from theouterhaven.net for Angel's Pride, or sorry, Assassin's Pride.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's just dive straight into this show.
Before that, let's give it a score and slogan.
Oh yeah, I see. I'm already trying to jump the gun on this.
Trying to get it over with. That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right, Mateo, you, since you got so much to say, you get to start with the slogan and score.
All right, I really try to think of a funny slogan, but I couldn't. But my score is easy, like a 2 out of 10.
Whoa. That's more than 2 at least.
Well, no. This is not discussion time.
Okay.
This is just give your score.
My slogan is, everybody wants to be an angel, but don't count out the samurai.
Okay.
Couldn't think of a funnier one. Sorry.
So I go next. So my slogan is, I will change the title of the show itself, you know? So my slogan is, The Legend of Manaless Princess, Melida's Awakening. 6.5 out of 10.
Wow.
That's pretty high, dude.
That's pretty high. I mean,
yeah, we will get right into it.
We'll get into that.
Not high in my dictionary, though.
No, for this show, that's pretty high.
This show is pretty high.
For me, I'm going to give it a 5. Just 5 flat. Mm-hmm. And my slogan is, why do vampires want to date little girls?
I mean, in every single vampire story.
I know. They usually always want to date a little girl. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Bitch is only 13.
I mean, he's only 15.
Barely legal, I guess.
He's only 15.
Where does it say he's 15?
I could have sworn I remember him saying he's only 15.
No. He is 20. He is 20. Yeah.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, because I don't remember like them ever saying his age, except for the reference to like 7 years ago or 8 years ago when he had that thing.
Years ago, he is only 12. All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that put him at about 20. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's scores and slogans. So let's get into this show.
No, wait. Who has the best slogan?
Shannon didn't even say a slogan.
Yes, I did. Why do vampires always want to date little girls?
That's right. That's the one.
Yeah, I think I will go with Shannon. That is easy.
I mean, we're going to choose the best one out of 3 bad ones. I'm going to go with Shannon, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the slogan can only be as good as the show, so.
Yeah. All right, so let's get right into it. Okay, Matthew, why you give it such a very low score, I guess?
The show sucked! What do you mean? The show sucked! I'm not going to lie, I was paying attention pretty good, but I couldn't find a coherent storyline until, like, episode 6.
Episode 6 is a fan service. What do you mean by that?
And then...
See, I had the exact opposite problem. Not to cut you off, Mateo, but I had the exact opposite problem. I was in the storyline. It was perfectly fine. The pacing was good up until like episode 6. Yeah. And then it fucking fell apart. And I was like, what the fuck happened? Like, I remember the episode where it fucking fell apart. It was after it was the after party episode. And from there on, it was just crash and burn whole way.
Let me rephrase that then, because you're right. I enjoyed the school half. I'm a sucker for tournaments in any type of tournament arc. But once they left that tournament and went to that village, I was gone.
Trash.
I was gone. And then, maybe this was me not paying attention, but when did they actually say the main character's name? Because I didn't realize his name was Kufa Vampire until somebody said it when they were in the village. And I literally said to myself, who the fuck is Kufa Vampire?
He said it twice. He said it twice in the first episode, I believe.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess I wasn't paid attention because the show didn't start off well with me.
Yeah, because when he met Melida, he introduced himself. And then when he met Rosette on the train, he introduced himself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See, I thought he just said, I'm your private tutor to her. All right.
And then since we brought up his last name, what the fuck is this laziness?
They wanted to keep it a secret that he was a vampire, Shannon. So they named him Kufa Vampire. Apparently so,
the worst kept secret in anime. Why are you going to name your character Kufa Vampire and be like, oh, you'd be surprised, he's a half a vampire. Of course he's a fucking vampire. You named him Vampire.
I mean, look at the heroine, though. Heroine has, like, what, Melida Angels?
So, America yeah. Angel. Yeah. Well, no, because that the bitch didn't sprout wings, did she? No. So she's not an actual angel. He is an actual vampire. This is like the perfect example from Rick and Morty where it was Coach Feratu. And I don't know if you've seen Rick and Morty Mamats, but there's an episode in there where they decide, oh, I think we have a vampire in the school. His name is Coach Feratu. And everybody's like, yeah, that's probably a fucking vampire. And then the word got back to the head vampire. It's like, okay, listen here. No more wordplay names with this bullshit, okay? No more, like, Coach Feratu, who the hell came up with that? Like, they literally tore that shit apart. They were literally talking about this show. Why would you name your character fucking vampire and be like, oh, surprise, he's half vampire? That surprised nobody. The transformation at that point was worthless. That surprise transformation was worthless.
I agree. You know what, Shannon? If he is a full vampire, his name would be Kufa Vampire, all right?
Shut the hell up, Mamats.
Because he is a half vampire, it's only a vampire.
No, if he was a full vampire, it would have been Dracula Vampire. We're just going double down. Just double down.
Kufa. What kind of dumbass name is Kufa?
I really want to know if Kufa translates into anything.
No, I don't think so.
I'm looking it up because there's so many times where it's like, oh yeah, this actually translates into something else. And it's like, no, I want to know. Did y'all just fuck up? Or were y'all just lazy? Or this doesn't mean something?
It's stupid for Dracula.
It's like stupid Dracula. That's a translation. I mean, sorry about that. We jumped way off base. So continue, please.
I mean, the show sucked. After the school, the storyline just went out the window. They said, bye, we're just going to do random shit. The characters were meaningless. None of them were memorable. I mean, to this day, I'm looking at the My Anime list for this anime, and I'm looking at characters, and I'm like, who is this character?
Okay.
There's nothing memorable about this show.
So, here's a question, though. Going by the title alone, what is your expectation
for this? This is going to be about an assassin.
Right?
Not about a little girl.
Well, no. I was fine with the little girl part. I was fine with, like, him having his little protege or whatever. That's cool, because that's his pride. Assassins usually take pride in their ability to kill. Shut up and hear me out. I said, usually assassins take pride in their ability to kill. In this sense, they're playing on that and saying, no, he's found something more important to him than just killing. Hence the girl who's going to be his protege. I've seen it. We've seen that kind of thing before in The Professional, Leon, The Professional movie from like 20 years ago. So I would have been cool with that. The thing that did it for me was, like, I'm expecting fighting. I'm expecting bloodshed. I'm expecting some serious, like, ass-whooping action going on in this show. I got high school bullshit drama.
That is what we tried to ask you. Are you expecting that at all?
I was not expecting high school bullshit. I was expecting some, like, actual, like, shit that had to do with assassins. No, we're a guild of assassins. Motherfucker, you don't assassinate shit. Y'all are soldiers. Y'all job is to fight the fucking monsters. Y'all, why are you calling yourself assassins? I don't care if you sneak around in the night. You in a perpetual night.
I mean, this show just ended 2 minutes after it begins, all right? That's how it starts. Yep.
Right after Koopa injected a 12-year-old with his hot steaming mana.
Did we just jump back? What was that show? Did we just translate into how to not summon a demon lord? Did we just take notes and be like, yeah, we could use that?
It's relevant though, because he injects his mana into her and then he fucking massages her naked or whatever the fuck they're doing.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm saying, did they just watch that show, like how not to summon the demon lord, and be like, oh, we can use that. Yeah, we can use that.
They just had to find dumber names in a useless storyline.
Koofa Vamp. So I'm gonna start listing off. Hold on, I'm gonna start listing off character names, and we're really gonna sit here and decide if it's stupid. I want to hear you guys say stupid or not. Okay.
All right, but don't mind me if I ask who is that, because I really don't.
That's remember. Fine. Well, no, I don't care about the character themselves. I'm just talking about their name.
All right.
Just the name. Koofa Vampire. Stupid. Mamats, quit laughing and answer the question.
Yes, stupid. All right. Stupid.
Angel Melida. Or Melida Angel.
It sounds like My Little Angel. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. Rossetti Prickett.
It's very stupid.
I don't know. That one didn't bother me as much. At least Angel. Rosetta Stone. I just think of Rose Pickett, like Rose Fence. So yeah. I don't know. Elise Angel.
Not okay. as bad.
Yeah. As okay. Bad.
Okay. This one is at the top of my stupid list. And I'm gonna say it like I think it should be said, and how and then
I know Mule it is.
Mule Lamour.
Who is that?
That is the girl who
backstabbing her friend.
She's the one that took the book and put her on trial.
Yeah. Is that the girl who I thought was the enemy, but really was the friend of the enemy of the friend?
Yeah.
Like, she was an enemy, sometimes a friend again?
The librarian.
I don't know, because her role in the show was confusing as fuck.
Like, she started off being friendly, and then she betrayed, she betrayed her, and then she tried to be
the enemy. She was betraying her, she was still her friend.
Right, yeah, that bitch.
She was stupid.
That's one more, Shannon. That's one more.
There's a lot more. Black Maria.
Okay. Not bad.
Like, why is your name Madia? Not Maria. Not Maria. Madia. M-A-D-I-A.
I don't know.
Stupid.
Nerva Martillo.
Not as bad, but still dumb.
And then Salacha.
Yeah, Sriracha.
Bitch, your name is Sriracha as far as I'm concerned, okay? It's still stupid.
No, how about the Rosetti's dad?
What was Rosetti's dad's name?
Oh, hold on. I got to go to the further characters to get to that.
That is very stupid.
His name don't even show up in the credit list.
Hold on. Let me get his name. Now I'm curious. What's his name? Hold on. What does he even look like?
Oh, something Blossom.
Yep.
Something Blossom.
Wouldn't it be Blossom Prickett or something like that?
No, because it's not actually his father. It's not actually her father.
Oh my God, his name doesn't even show up on the character list.
Yep, because it is so stupid.
Hold up, I'm dead set on finding this now.
Well, I know how to find it. Because I'm sitting here like, yeah, this will... Oh, Marquis Blossom Prickett. You're right, it is Prickett. Marquis Blossom Prickett.
Oh man, that guy is awesome, and her daughter is Rose. There you go.
Yeah, no, that's
hey,
no.
Are we gonna talk about how Vampire's father is just named Father, or I guess that's just his guild leader? I'm sorry, this is just
that's
his father.
Yeah, they refer to the guild leader as father.
Yeah, the guild leader.
Which isn't really that weird when you think like I can't really think that's weird because when you think of like Nazi Germany. Hitler was called Mein Führer, which is my father.
I guess that's true. That's true. Less stupid. I take my comment back.
Actually, let me double check that before I get a bunch of comments. I was like, that's not what the fuck that mean.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they're going to be commenting on.
I mean, whoever who follow us, who's watching this show this week, is going to be disappointed.
Sorry, Führer is leader. Führer is leader, not father. My bad.
I'm the fearless Führer.
I take that back. I'm thinking of Vader, but that's Dutch.
And none of us Dutch, sir.
Ain't nobody Dutch. Apparently, no one's even listening from the Netherlands, so it doesn't matter.
Anyways, let's get back on topic, guys.
We needed a break from the bullshit of the show, okay? Okay, so let's continue. Where to pick up? Okay, you know, I'm going to talk about some good stuff about the show.
Mm-hmm. When there's good stuff?
There was, and then I'm going to have to
tear it apart. There's good stuff. All right, Matthew.
because there's a bad part after. The power system in here, I actually like it.
I mean, it's not bad.
It's not bad. It's not perfect, but it's not horrible. I've seen worse. The whole concept of the whole thing has a rock, paper, scissors mentality, unless you get to the upper tiers like Paladin and such. Other than that, it's all rock, paper, scissors. Everything has a weakness to its counterparts, which I dig. They did not spend enough time explaining the different classes that you can have. But I like the fact that it's literally mana is just an enhancement. There is no like lightsabers, really. Like, we only saw like a lightsaber one time when Melita lost her weapon. So I'll let it go. Because I'll just take that as she just unleashed a wave of mana. I can live with that. So I like the fact that it was merely an enhancement technique, not a cure-all. But what the fuck is this bullshit about, one, only nobles get mana, like can produce mana, but there are nobles who don't produce mana, and then no explanation for any, like how it's like it's passed down and you automatically get whatever the highest level of mana is in your family, or else you're not a member of that family. The fuck? So if I take a paladin, if I take a paladin and then marry a samurai, the child has to be a paladin, or else that's not my baby. This is the worst version of Maury Povich I have ever heard of in my life.
I mean, in monarchy, they are, I guess, a bit picky about their lineage, you know?
Right, that's fine, but his, but the Duke Angel did not marry a noble. He married a commoner. And because she didn't produce mana, they're like, oh, she doesn't have paladin powers. That's not his baby. He married a commoner who doesn't have mana. How does that make sense? And then when she produces mana, they're like, oh, well, I still
must have cheated.
She must have cheated somehow. Yeah. And she saw her fight. There's, so far, they've given no explanation other than Kufa that you can give someone mana abilities.
There's Kufa is a special kind of lycanthrope, you know? Not a human.
Right. But that's what I mean. I fully understand that. But there's been no other talk in this show about anyone being able to artificially give you mana. So how are you going to say she suddenly produced mana, but she's still not the heir because she somehow cheated? You haven't established that that's something that y'all can do. And then we established the fact that the very last episode that the father's like, well, I do remember like your great-great uncle was a samurai class, and you do look a lot like him. Hold up. So you are telling me that y'all have mated with someone that is of lower status, power-wise, or class-wise.
And they upgraded.
And you still think it's impossible for someone to be born with a power level lower than yours. That makes no sense!
Yeah, I mean, it is just a setup for a, like, weird-ass kind of story, you know?
Right, but my thing is, if you had simply said that the children are born with whichever class, like, classes are dominant. So if you have a paladin class as a parent, that power level will supersede any other. If they had said that and left it alone, it wouldn't have been a problem because you set precedent. But they already established that that's not the case.
Yeah, maybe there's a problem over there where whatever the king said is what it is, you know? And they are expecting that if this is like a king's daughter or something, she must be a paladin of some sort, you know.
I don't know. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah,
how it was handed down was a little confusing.
Yeah,
the inherited power part of the system doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much thing that is a mystery or a very confusing things in the show, like lycanthropes. What is lycanthropes?
So a lycanthrope is
in true terms,
Well, no, no, no. A lycanthrope by name is a werewolf.
Yeah, it's a werewolf.
It's lycanthropy. It's a werewolf. In this world, they're using lycanthrope as a term for a monster. And they have found a way to give part of those genes to a human because humans turn into lycanthropes by being exposed to the outside world outside of the cities.
Oh, okay. So
that part was understandable. I got that part. That was easy. But when you start adding in, like, the only thing that didn't really make sense was the power system. And then they didn't really tell us what the difference really is in how, in the difference between the classes. We only heard about samurai, knight, and there was one other. And it literally
dragoon a little bit.
No. This was during the class. During the classroom scene.
Oh, okay.
Where Melita was answering the question. She said,
yeah, I remember what you're samurai talking about.
Can force a stalemate between those three classes because they have speed, they have power, they have defense. So you can cause a stalemate. Okay, that makes sense. So that means that you're better at enhancing your speed, you're better at enhancing strength, you're better at enhancing your defensive capabilities. But they didn't really explain the others. Like, Dragoon, I guess, can fly. That's their only advantage. And then, but what is Paladin? Does Paladin just get to increase all three or all four? Can Paladins fly? Like,
I don't know. Paladin, to my eyes, is only like have a massive amount of mana.
Right, but you had two paladins you showed us that were main characters of the show, and y'all were just like, we don't need to talk about their abilities. It's fine. Like, the hell?
Yeah. They pretty much screw up all the explanation and stuff in the show. And I would really like to see like a training montage or training episode rather than the fan service, you know? That would be more interesting in the show.
I mean, there was a flashback montage of training.
Yeah, that's how they did their training montages. There were different flashbacks and different episodes of him like training her on a certain technique and things. So they just didn't consolidate into a single thing.
Yeah. But I would rather have like a full-blown episode in for a training montage, you know, rather than have that episode 6. I don't think episode 6 is necessary towards the whole story.
Episode 6 was freaking pointless.
Yep, that is just a fan service.
It's not even fan service, dude. I fell asleep 3 times during episode 6.
Really?
I don't even remember. What happened in episode 6? What happened in episode 6? I don't remember.
They have an unofficial after party. Yeah.
Oh, you know why I don't remember it? I'm not going to lie to you guys. I skipped it.
Yeah.
I realized it was filler instantly. I realized it was filler, and I'm like, I already hate the show. I'm not going to sit through filler of the show.
I fell asleep.
If you like those four characters, Salacha, Mule, Alice, and Melida, you would like a fan service of them.
I mean, what's there to like about them? They're all annoying.
Agreed.
I don't know, man. Maybe it is your thing. You like to be annoyed by them.
That's a special kind of punishment.
Yeah,
there's just a lot about this show. A lot.
Oh man. Yeah, story wise, the story after episode 6, it just went under the bus. You know, there's no saving it. Right? After all of that, I mean, do you think that it is necessary to let us know straight away that? All right, this is Kufa's, past and everything. Do you think that it is necessary?
I think there was a bit of better way to do it. They didn't have to do it so slowly. Like, just have him disappear and be like, everything else happens. It was just so slow and broken up. It didn't need to be like 2 episodes or 2.5 episodes for that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
They should have condensed it into 1 episode. Like, see her go haywire, and then act to fix it, and then that would have given it a sense of urgency, as opposed to them skulking around the city, not knowing what the fuck is going on, and then all of a sudden she comes back.
Yeah, I mean, just look at Black Maria's role in that scene. she is just like explaining stuff to Melida, and that's it.
Well, no, she's not explaining stuff to Melida. She's explaining stuff to us.
Yeah, in a way, yes. Yeah.
And that's a that's a problem. If you're literally having a character talk to us, be like, listen, this is what this is about. This is so you understand that. And I'm like, what? If you have to flat out tell me, then you've written a bad story.
Yeah.
I should be able to extrapolate that, oh, those are lycanthropes that they captured, tortured, experimented on. No, you just showed me a dead human body.
Explained it to me.
Oh, this is a dude from the square. Like, they even flash back to show the bracelet to be like, oh, look, it is him. See? I'm like, really? You could just have him half transformed or something?
Black Medusa was the clown, right?
Yeah, she's the clown.
Yeah, she was the clown.
Oh, the clown. Okay.
And after she is done explaining stuff to us, she's disappeared, right?
Yeah, she's done. She leaves.
No. Yeah, isn't she done with the story at that point? Like, she's no longer in the show.
Yeah, series? She doesn't come back.
Oh. And that was actually kind of a cool character.
Yeah, like, really? I liked it better when she didn't talk.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, when she burned the cards and it'll...
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, the two characters I really did like weren't in the show very much. I'm not gonna lie. We'll get into that.
Black Nadia and who else? William Ginn.
The mummy guy?
Yeah.
Why don't you like that guy?
He had a cool power.
I enjoyed his character.
Yeah, all right. I wish we could see more of him, but nah.
Yeah.
I feel like he wasn't in the show anymore.
Even when he did come back, he was like, he came back for 30 seconds.
I mean, after all that they shown us, I think there's no way that this show will be, enjoyable after this, if they manage to make a second season out of this, you know? Because they already unveil all the mystery behind it, right?
No, they haven't.
I mean, like, Melidas has already been acknowledged by her father.
By her father, but not the rest.
Yeah,
of them,
but
not,
yeah,
no.
They're still trying to pursue that she's the alien child.
Yeah, Schicksal is now curious about her and Kufa. So there's still more to explore. But I'm not going to explore it.
Yeah, I ain't going to be in there. But yeah, they kind of left it on a semi-cliffhanger. That wasn't very interesting, but it was still a cliffhanger.
I mean, I don't think that they can continue it after all of this, you know.
I mean,
I don't think. Yeah.
I know that. You know that.
I don't think it was good.
I don't think they know that.
All right. So what do you think of Rose being like... a little sister to Kufa. What do you think of that? Of that concept?
It's a really creepy relationship.
See, it makes a lot of sense, though. I didn't mind that part of the story. It makes sense, though. Because he introduces himself, and he's very gentlemanly, and he's very, like, sweet to her. And then he flips 180. He's like, don't get close to me. Don't get the hell away from me.
But then he flips again, and then he starts kissing her.
No.
Right, right. No, that's when he's pretending to be her boyfriend.
Her lover, yeah.
So, but when it's just those two, he's very standoffish from her. And it makes sense now because he sees her, one, like a little sister. I don't think they're actually related.
Yep.
But he knows that if she remembers who he is, then she has to die. And he doesn't want that. So
yeah.
I'm okay with that. That makes sense to me. That was an interesting twist. For the end of the show.
Yep.
I got no complaints about it.
But I mean, they unveiled that fact really early in the show, I guess. Don't you think that it should be like a little bit further to unveil the mystery?
What do you mean?
I mean, if there is a season 2, should it be that the whole scene about unveiling that Rose is his little sister should be unveiled in a season 2 instead? Do you think that it's a bit early in the season 1?
No, because I don't know where the story goes. I don't know how important to the overall story she ends up. because I think this whole part was just to give you the backstory on Kufa, mm-hmm. and to understand who he is and how he came to be and why he works for the organization he does. So, because I was wondering the whole time, does his organization know he's half vampire? Like, do they know what's up with him?
Yeah, Father knows he's half vampire.
Yeah.
Up until that point, we didn't know that. Because when he threatened William, he made it seem like, the way he made it seem to me was like, oh, go ahead, tell somebody, I fucking dare you. And then when anybody else saw him, and he was like, well, I can't have you know, he already showed he could suppress their memories. So I didn't know if his organization knew he was half vampire. But that backstory with Rossetti told me, yeah, he knows, and that's why he works with them. Because Father basically said, come work for me, I'll make sure she lives. And that was the arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't know where this story is supposed to go to, right?
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. They screw up big time.
Had some screw ups.
No, on the second half of this story, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely. I guess, yeah, let's get right into the characters itself. So do you have a favorite character, man? Meteo?
Yeah, it was either Black Maria or Williams, Mr. Ginn.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Shane?
I mean, if we're talking about overall character, I guess I have to give it to William. He didn't get enough airtime to show him being stupid, and his name wasn't fucking stupid. If we're talking about ability wise, I do like Kufa's ability as a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the different techniques he used, and I like the transformation. But overall, the character got on my damn nerves. So I got to give it to William.
I mean, I will go with Kufa, though. Despite his stupid name, he is a very good character. I mean, he hasn't fallen to the like typical vampire character, you know? So if you watch many vampire, I guess, story, I guess, the main character always go super flirty with the heroine and always do like the yaoi thing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, the yaoi stuff to the girl. If you see so many animes like I am, you know what I mean by that. But Kufa doesn't fall into that trap, I guess. He is not I guess nurturing Melida for her blood, right?
Yeah, he's just he does kind of have that because he keeps talking about when it's time for you to die, it's my job. So
her blood. Usually, a vampire character is all about the young maiden's blood and stuff. You know?
No, you're right. But for me, I saw that as his version of that. As his version of, well, I'm just grooming her for her blood. I kind of viewed it as, well, when you're ready to die, I'm going to be the one to do it.
Maybe, but nah, I don't think so, though.
And well, he kept saying it enough.
Yeah. And yeah, even though he is like a very strong vampire, he is not let himself, I guess, out of control. And let the vampire instinct take over his human, I guess, human soul.
Somehow.
So, is vampire can live without a blood?
I guess.
See what I mean?
I mean, that was another weird thing that happened in the damn city arc, is the fact that it's like, oh, she's out of control. She has to drink blood. All of a sudden, they had a fucking wedding. And she back to normal.
Yeah.
Right?
What happened?
Right? What happened from point A to point B? You're right.
Yeah.
Like, and I kept feeling stuff like that when I was watching this show. Like at the end of the episode, when I started the next one, it seemed like there was shit missing. I was like, did I skip an episode? No, I'm on the right episode. Okay, I hope you explain this shit.
Yeah.
And I just gotta wait.
Stuff to us. Oh man. So back to the what I said before. So Kufa is a very gentleman. He keep his promise, and I like the scene when he has to erase her little sister memory for her sake, you know. It's a bit sad, but it has to be done. I like that scene so much.
Yeah, that was a sweet scene.
Yeah. And other than that, yeah. Kufa is a very good guy. So yeah, how about the opposite though? Least favorite characters, Matthew.
Mule Lamour. I hate her name. I hate her name and the fact that I don't know. It was just so confusing. Are you an enemy? Are you her friend? Why do you want to be her friend as an enemy?
Like, I mean, the way I see it, though, she is just a mischievous one.
The part that confused me is the back and forth between Elise and her when they were fighting in the Alice in Wonderland area. And she's like, I feel like you just, like, deeply care for her and, like, you're really her friend. And I'm like, is she not just trying to illegitimize her relationship to her father and ruin her entire life? I don't understand how you get this feeling from her.
I don't know, man.
And
it's a weird relationship.
I was just like, are you her friend or are you her enemy? You can't be both.
She's in the middle, though. She's in the middle.
You can't be in the middle. If you're trying to freaking ruin her entire life by illegitimizing her relationship with her father and ruin that entire family, you're not in the middle.
I mean, in my head, that I really want to spank that bitch really hard right now.
I mean,
I really want to see her scream.
Sriracha was more of a friend to her than freaking Mule.
Yeah, of course.
But I wasn't a fan of Mule Lamour.
How about you, Shannon?
Nerva Martillo.
I mean, yeah, Nerva is annoying at first, but.
No. Annoying is not the word. Annoying is not the word.
I didn't mind Nerva.
What? Are you shitting me?
She's like,
hold up. She's a how you gonna spin? No. Fuck that. No. Sundara is not an excuse for the bullshit this bitch pulled, okay?
I mean, is that one friend that you hate the most, but after that, she becomes your friend.
No. No, this bitch and the word friend do not go together, okay? Because, yeah, there's things like frenemies where, yeah, we're friends, but we also, like, don't always get along, so we're kind of in between. That's not what this was. That was this bitch bullying her every day for her whole school career and being like, but we're friends, right? No, bitch, you're not friends. If you think y'all friends, you don't understand what a friend is.
I mean, but she redeemed herself after that.
She was friends after she got her ass beat.
Yeah,
she was friends after she got her ass kicked. She's like, you know what? Maybe I should ease back a little bit so she don't actually whip my ass again. That's what that was. That was some fear. She put some fear into her, and that's what changed her mind.
Into her.
I'm telling you. No, this is not friendship, okay? The only time she did anything remotely like, that's my friend, is when she signed up for her team during the exam. That was it.
That's what I said. She redeemed herself.
No, that's not redemption. That is not redemption.
That's like the least she could do.
That is the absolute least she could do.
No, I'm sorry. Redemption giving her the book back was the least she could do.
Right. No. Redemption would have been her like, you know what? I see you getting your ass beat. You having a bit of a struggle. Oh, let me jump in and take this hit for you so you'll be okay. You get a chance to recover. That would have been some redemption. No, she didn't take an ass whooping for her. She didn't. She saw, oh, she's an up-and-coming person now. She's stronger than me. The only person she seems to be losing to is Ellis. Maybe I need her on my side.
I don't know, man. I'm okay with Nerva.
No, fuck Nerva.
I mean, fuck Nerva, but not more than Mule Lamour.
No, fuck both of them. They equal. They equal bullshit.
But to me, though, I hate two person in this show. Othello. the mate for Alice, and Astachi, one of the teacher over there.
Is that like the main teacher that's against her or whatever?
Yeah.
The one that had the mask on at the end?
Mm-hmm.
Where she catches her? No, that was the maid. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of someone else.
That's the maid.
Yeah, that's the maid. That's the maid.
That's the maid. The one that against her in the teacher's meeting or something like that.
I don't even remember.
That one old lady.
I really don't remember.
Yeah. I do not remember her at all.
All right. I mean, the teacher is kind of like the maid herself. Always belittling Melida in every way possible.
Oh, speaking of something about Melida, what's with her dumb nickname?
Melida?
No. I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about what everyone else calls her, like the useless, talented girl.
Oh, the incompetent, talented
girl. Saiju?
Oh, God, I hated that name.
It's so stupid.
The useless, so talented wrong. Girl. How can you be so contradictory?
See, yours said useless. Mine said incompetent.
Oh. Yeah. Mine was incompetent as well. Incompetent, talented girl.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, it was one of the two. But I'm like, mine, how can you be so
contradictory? You're absolutely right. There's like, you're either talented or you're incompetent. Like,
you can't be both.
No. And that name should have gone away as soon as her powers developed.
Everybody called her that, though. Everybody.
Yep.
This is just stupid.
That got on my nerves.
No, I was going to bring up the Lita one. I was like, why the fuck you keep calling her Lita and not Lita?
Because she's a battle angel, sir.
Yep. If you don't get that reference, I don't know who. Where do you live, you know?
If you don't get that reference, you shouldn't be watching this podcast.
Yep.
I had that in my back pocket for a very long time. I've been looking to use it. I'm sorry.
No, that was good. I can see why. I forgot what I was going to say now. something else I had a problem with on the map about the main character. So I really want to know. Did he give her his mana, or did he awaken her mana?
No, I don't think
he injected his hot mana into her.
Yep, half.
Because if he would have awoken her mana, she probably would have come out as a paladin.
Yep.
Right, but here's the thing: we already know that this motherfucker is beyond samurai.
He's a Kufa vampire samurai.
Yeah.
Right, but the fact that he has abilities that go beyond samurai.
But that's because he's a lycanthrope. He's a half vampire. That's not right. Because he's so anything that, more than a samurai. He's
beyond human limit. All
right. Right, I understand that, but hear me out. So that raises two further questions. One, did she not become a vampire because he did not bite her? Two, why did her power level equal his base level and not his upper level?
I mean, she is not have enough experience, I guess.
I'm thinking it had something to do with the similar where he injected his anima in the same way that he erased the memories. And in just injecting it awakened her mana, but he still had to inject a little bit. So he wasn't near as necessarily increasing her pool. He was just giving it a little bit of a zap to wake it up with his mana.
I don't think that she's
a weakened her. The earlier answer you guys gave was that he gave her his mana.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he did, but he didn't give her a surplus amount of it. I'm pretty sure it was just a little bit to get her mana awake, because I'm pretty sure everybody has latent mana. It's just only some people can awaken that mana.
No, I don't think that she's awakened her mana at all. I think that he gave her the mana itself. And the thing that he done to her, like massaging her, I have my theory. My theory is that he has to do that to distribute the mana throughout the body, I guess.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing yours. He was tracking it to make sure it wasn't blocking any of her chakras.
Yeah.
Chakras.
he had to massage her naked with his hot steaming mana in her.
Okay, you got way too hooked on the show.
Yep.
I hate this show. Sorry.
That's it. So you got hooked on that other show. But you keep talking about hot steaming mana.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fantastic scene. It's still one of my top 10 scenes of all time.
It's season 2. You know that?
I hope it's getting a season 2. I hope he awakens another demon lord, too.
It is?
Yeah. They announced a season 2 for that show.
Oh, yeah, Lord have mercy. Popular.
He's going to awaken a couple more demon lords. Some little baby demon lords.
Oh, man.
I don't know what to say about that.
All right. So, how about a favorite scene, guys? Any memorable scene? I have already said mine.
I mean, that's a good emotional scene. I think a good scene, though, is when she's fighting side by side with Kufa and they're fighting the mask guy. I enjoyed that one, kind of.
That very cheesy fight scene?
Yeah, it was a cheesy fight scene, but it was better than the rest of them.
Come on.
Are you going to tell me that wasn't the best fight scene in the show?
Nerva is far better, in my opinion.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I got to side with Mamats on this. The fight with Nerva is actually my favorite. Because when she finally did smash Nerva and like she got like her mana was depleted and she's like shit and she's like hold up, I got a little bit left in me and pulled out that final slash kind of move and knocked that bitch out and said let me and the straight said let me borrow this, took her weapon and won the fight. So I enjoyed that fight scene a lot. Was it the best fight scene in the show?
Far better than the cheesy final fight scene.
If we're gonna go with best fight scene, it's gotta go like the flashback fight with Kufa as a child whooping the shit out of that spider.
Yeah, yes. Right. That was
like
you
went straight
one.
Like straight took out the eyes first. While everybody else is just like, I don't know what to do, and he's like, Nah, I got this. Took out both that fool's eyes, and then the other dude came in and finished him off. I'm like, you just let that kid take that win from you. Like you would have took that L if it wasn't for him.
Yeah, right.
How about you, Shannon? Is that your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is probably the fight with Nerva.
Yeah. All right.
It was just it was a much more satisfying scene overall. Even though the fighting part wasn't better than the other, the overall scene was a better scene.
All right. So how about a least favorite scene, Matthew?
I'm surprised none of us have brought this up and how it's got absolutely no relevance to the show. But anything after the library where they started bringing the fairy tales of Alice in Wonderland, The Little Mermaid, and Cinderella into it, I hated every single one of those. Like, I hated her being in a court in Alice in Wonderland and everybody assumed a role of character. And how when Kufa came in, he was the Mad Hatter, I think. Hated it. Yeah. I'm like, where is the relevance to this show? Because they were in a library? Why is this here?
I mean, look at the incantation itself. That is just stupid.
Once upon a... Yes, it's stupid. It's stupid.
Why are they all the same?
Yeah, why they are all the same? For every single magic that there is.
I hated it. Once upon a time. I'm sorry. Actually, let me fix my best scene. It was when she once upon a time and she turned into the Little Mermaid. There's my best scene.
Sriracha?
Sriracha sauce.
Oh, man.
Sriracha sauce.
But I mean, it's just the relevance.
You have to like the fruit of betrayal over there.
I hated it. Hated it.
Oh, man. How about you, Shannon?
Crap, I had it in my head and I forgot. Oh, all of episode 6.
I'm okay with the fan service, but that just doesn't fit in the whole show at all.
No, all of episode, like literally, the episode had nothing to do with anything at all. No, to hell with that whole episode.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I agree with you with that. I hate that whole episode too. So I guess let's finish this up, man. So, let's see expectation and realization. Before and after you watch the show, Matthew.
What was my expectation before?
Mm-hmm.
I thought and, it was going to be...
And after. The realization after that.
I thought the show was... Going into the show, I thought it was going to be a badass assassin show where I was going to watch this dude kill a bunch of rich people. Or, like, nobility. And I came out of it watching Koopa Vampir and his little angel.
I have to agree with you, man. I have to agree with you. I was hoping that it is all about assassins, but no.
I got a shitty slice of life.
Vampire love story, all right?
This was the anime version of Twilight.
In a way, yes. Oh, come on. How about you, Shannon?
Now, y'all pretty much summed it up. I thought we were going to see, like, some Kill la Kill type shit. Not Kill la Kill. Kame ga Kill type shit. Was just assassins just going, like, savage and ham on each other. And, like, well, he's got to defend her against other assassins coming after her. And it's going to just be a bloodbath. And, like, no.
So much potential.
And that title has got to change. That title was terrible.
Yeah, I mean... Right towards the end, everyone is said, "Oh, this is my pride. This is my pride." Is that really necessary?
I think they're trying to justify the title at that point.
Oh, come on, God. The title sucks.
The show sucks.
The show is okay right until episode 6. All right, guys. I guess that's it. That is the. Review. That is our review of Assassin's Pride. I've lost my word now. So if you like what you heard here, please give us a like, give us a follow, give us a rating on whatever platform that you listen this podcast on. And if you have any comments or any suggestion for our future show, you can always talk to us at our social media. So, Shannon, what is our social media again?
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Shiitake Podcast. And you can email us at shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
And also, if you want to be like our follower in watching the next show early with us, you can do that. So... What is our next show, Matthew?
We are watching the remake of Fruit Baskets, Season 1.
Mm-hmm. We are going to watch that. So you can watch it with us and listen to our podcast next week.
This way you can decide if we're full of shit or if you pretty much agree with everything we're saying.
Yeah, of course. So I guess that is the end of our podcast. So, guys, so let's end this podcast like usual. All right. Matteo, you go first. You always go last, right? I want you to go
first this time around. It's because the best always goes last.
Oh.
No.
Hey, that's terrible. Assassin's Pride. Don't talk about
it. Yeah, you're saying it's about as good as a show.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Shannon.
I was like, you know, originally I was going to say there was no time for Opie, but Matteo did remind me, when you're an assassin protecting your pride, there's still time for Opie if you can get transformed by a fairy tale book. God bless Little Mermaid.
Oh, man, that fruit of betrayal is real, all right? I mean, if you've fallen in love with an assassin vampire, your life may be in danger. But you know what? Please be careful and please don't die. So, all right, guys. That's it. So, let's say it with me now. Shiitake.
Shiitake.
Shiitake.